Let's take our Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter 1. And I want to just read one verse, because this morning's thoughts are on fellowship with the Father. Last Sunday we dealt with fellowship with the Son, and we will work with our think upon and muse upon fellowship with the Father, and we will probably take two Sundays to do this, and I think it will be profitable for us. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." John was sharing doctrine with those to whom he is writing, and that is to us, that we might have fellowship with John and those of kindred spirit who desired to have fellowship one with another, to respond to the needs of each other, and that would lead to fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And this morning we want, like I said before, we want to reflect upon having fellowship with the Father. And by the way, verse 4 tells us what is the purpose of this, and that is that we might have full joy. We want to have full joy. We want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and enter into the joy of the Lord. If we expect to have fellowship with the Father, our own personal lives need to be clean. Our lives need to be pure. Our lives need to be separate from the things that would distract us. Let me tell you, where you spend your time causes you to change. Even when you go to a church that does not focus upon the life, and the life for the age, which is a reference to kingdom life or ruling with and reigning with Christ, it causes your focus on that doctrine and on that truth to wane and to diminish. But we need to be careful who we are yoked with. And let me say this, when you are in a body of believers, you're in a church body, you are yoked with that body. That's what church is all about. Church is a living organism, and there is a bonding there. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we see that that God will be our Father, and you read that in verse 18 when he says, "And I will be a Father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Now, what does it take for that to take place? What do we have to do? Well, in verses 17 and 18, it says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and ye will be my, and I will, and will be a Father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters." Come out from among them. I just listed references to them, and those that the Lord is referring to, or Paul is referring to here, are those that are unfaithful. If we associate with those that are unfaithful, then we too will become unfaithful. If we associate with those who are lawless, that's the unrighteous. That word is ainoma, meaning no or no law or lawlessness. If we have fellowship with those or bonded with those that are lawless, we too will become lawless. In fact, we are warned in Matthew that in the last days lawlessness will abound. And it will cause the love of the many who have been called unto His kingdom and glory to also become cold and rebellious against authority. Also, we need to be separated from darkness. What do you mean darkness? That's not turning out the light. This has to do with works of darkness. thoughts of darkness. And it's around us all the time. People are talking about those things that are done in secret and that are done in the dark. Because their deeds are evil, they do not want to be exposed. Also, we need to be separated from those that are worthless. Belial is a reference to somebody who's down, like we would say down south, no count. No count. Worthless. Of no value. And we need to be separated from them. And we need to be separated again from the unfaithful. I tell you, it's in there twice. We need to be careful about our association with those that are unfaithful in the Lord. And we also need to be careful about having idols. It's just interesting to listen to those that are into sports. And they make references to this young skater who has so-and-so as an idol. I'm not sure that they bow down to the idol or to the person. But the point is this. What is it that you put before God? That's what he's talking about here. Rebellion is as witchcraft and stubbornness as lawlessness and idolatry. These are just two idols that we can have. Rebellion, it is an idol. And it is as witchcraft. And stubbornness, that is rebellion. Not willing to change. And is lawlessness and idolatry. We're to mortify, therefore, our members, as is brought out in Colossians 3:5. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Greediness, desiring those things that are forbidden, uncontrolled passion, impurity. These are things that can cause us to break fellowship with the Father. And then it says, and be ye righteous, in the light, faithful. Again, it's given to us twice in verses 14 and 15. And we are the temple of God. And the temple of God has to do with holiness, separation. And I think of those that that we need to separate from are those that are brought out in Psalms 1, where it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Scorning meaning mocking truth. Mocking truth. And as you notice, that if we are involved with them, if we're walking among them, it isn't long that we're standing among them, and then we are sooner or later going to be sitting down with them, and we will have a hard time leaving. It's hard to walk away sitting down. That's the point. It's hard to walk away sitting down. But we need to be like Psalms 1 in verse 2. But our delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law should we meditate day and night. This will help us to separate ourselves from those that are unclean. Those that are unclean fall into the category of those who are leprous. If you were a leper, you had to walk around crying out, unclean, unclean. And so that no one would touch him. I think the Lord just simply emphasized in the Old Testament about being unclean. When you were unclean, you were excluded from the camp. You were put out in the backyard. I guess the doghouse is a place that some people talk about it. You weren't allowed to come into the house because you were unclean. And I can appreciate, and Gene can appreciate that a little bit. When I was working as a night watchman one time, And it was in Schultz's Tannery in Chattanooga, Tennessee. It was down close to the Tennessee River. And I had to walk through that tannery once every hour. And so when I got home about 12:30 at night, Gene had a box at the door. And I came out of all my clothes because what I was walking around in rubbed off on me. And I smelled a high heaven. I was down there with all those rotting hides and all that, all that goes with tanning cow hides and all that stuff. And it was not a clean place. And so when I came home, I was unclean. And the Lord tries to emphasize the fact that being unclean is not what we want to do. It was even to the point that if someone accidentally had a heart attack standing next to you and he touched you, you were unclean. If you were walking through a camp and accidentally touched somebody's house that had died, you were unclean. And so we need to be separated from that which is unclean. And it says, I will receive you and I will be a father unto you. That's what it takes to have fellowship with the Father. Separation and cleanliness in the Lord. Before we can have fellowship with the Father, this is a little bit of review. We need to learn to have fellowship with the Son. 1 Corinthians 1:9 tells us that we have been called unto fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. It's part of the calling, is to have fellowship with Him. So, if we can have fellowship with the Son, then we can have fellowship with the Father. In John chapter 14, in verse 6, it says, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let me say this. Coming to the Father is not for salvation. Coming to the Father is for fellowship. You come to Jesus Christ for salvation. You come to the Father for other purposes. Now, the Father and the Son want to have fellowship with you and I. And in John chapter 14, verses 21 and 23, we see that what it takes after we are clean to have fellowship with the Father and with His Son. He that hath my commandments, actually, it's better to translate the word hath as esteem. He that esteemeth my commandments and keepeth them, we think of it in terms of keeping as obeying them, but let me tell you, if you esteem His commandments, you will obey them. And this word keepeth means, it has a double meaning. It has the meaning of guarding. But if you are a guard, I've been on guard duty, and being on guard duty means that you are watching. You are watching the area to make sure that no one that was not authorized to come in. And what this really means, this word keepeth, means to keep your eye on the commandments. We need to esteem them and we need to be looking at them. That is the same thing as meditating on the Word day and night. And if we will do that, it says, He tells us, He it is that loveth me. This confirms the fact that we love the Lord. It's not a fuzzy feeling or singing, oh how I love Jesus. That's not what counts. It's esteeming His commandments and keeping our eyes on them. And if we will do that, He says, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now the manifestation of the Father and the Son is not physical. It's by another means, and we will look at that a little later. Verse 23 continues, he says, Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him, and will make our abode with him. And the thing that I see in this passage of Scripture, this is individuals. I will be with him, not them as a group, but on an individual basis. And I think that we need to see this. Our fellowship with the Father is not dependent upon the crowd or the masses as such, unless they are the ones who are causing us to go astray. But we are to have fellowship with them. I thought about Paul. Paul was a tent maker. And when Paul went to a certain city, he joined himself with Priscilla and Aquila because they were tent makers. And he abode with them, just like the Father will abide with us. What I thought about was this. What did Paul and his friends talk about? Well, I'm sure that Paul talked to them about the Lord. But he also did a little shop talk, don't you think? I think so. And I think this has to do with fellowship. I mean, we can talk about the Lord, but we can talk. The Father is going to talk about things that he wants to us to appreciate. And that's what it means to abide. It means communication. It means fellowship. And I'm not so sure that shop talk is applicable with the Father, but the point I'm saying is it's communication. And that's important. Now, how will they come? How will they come to us? And how will they manifest themselves to us? Well, in John 14:26, it says, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." The word comforter is not a good translation. It comes from the Greek word paraklesis, which means exhorter, an encourager. Para meaning beside, and klesis meaning call. The Holy Spirit is alongside calling and encouraging. And who sent the Holy Spirit? Well, the Father sent the Holy Spirit. That's what we just got through reading. Which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. And he is the one who does the teaching. He is really the one who is communicating with us. Why can we say that? Well, he will be in you. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Jesus is not indwelling us. The Father is not indwelling us. It's the Holy Spirit that's indwelling us, and we are communicating, we are having shop talk, if you please, with the Holy Spirit. The Father is on His throne. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God the Father in His body of flesh and bones. He is still just as much God, except that He is not omnipresent Himself. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent in throughout the whole world. Jesus is localized at the right hand of God the Father. Now, in John 15, in verse 26, it says, "But when the Comforter, that is the Exhorter, has come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." It's the Spirit of truth that will be doing the communicating and revealing of the Father and the Son. And in verse 16, in John 16, in verse 13, it says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all the truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear from the Father, that is, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." He will show you things that are upon the Father's heart. What is upon the Father's heart? The kingdom. Ruling and reigning. What's on the Father's heart? It's crowns. It's approval. It's full joy. It's the Father who hath made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, Colossians 1:12. It's the Father who has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son and has delivered us from darkness. So that's what the Holy Spirit is going to be sharing and revealing to us. And it will be pertaining to His coming kingdom. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "For the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory," and He is the subject of this sentence, by the way, the Father is. Paul said, "I am praying that the Father would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." So the Father is making it possible for us to have fellowship with Him by giving us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the epinosis, the knowledge, the knowing about Him. How does that work in our lives? Well, in Matthew chapter 16, in verses 15 through 17, we have Jesus asking the question, "Who do men say that I am?" And they give a list of fellows that they think that Jesus, that the people think that Jesus is, you know, Elijah and John the Baptist and others. And then the Lord said, "Whom say ye that I am?" And Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He had just been in Bible class the night before, and no, he hadn't been in any Bible class, had he? What does it say? And Jesus answered in verse 17, "Blessed art thou, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." This is revelation in the truth. It just came. He didn't learn that in a Bible class or in a Sunday school class. That came by the Father abiding with them. The Lord was with them and the Father was in their midst. In fact, Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's here." And in John 14. Now, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, "And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes." Now, I asked Ben this morning, what question was Jesus answering? Did anybody know? What question did Jesus answer? When he said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth." Well, the point is this: there is no question. You can search the whole 11th chapter of Matthew, and there is no question. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 21, this is the same parallel passage of Scripture. It says, "In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father." You know what this is? This is the Holy Spirit revealing to Jesus truth from the Father. He was answering the Father who gave him that information. Now, I thought I would just share this. I want to share it with you where I got this. I got this from Spurgeon in his devotions. I was telling Gene that I had something on Sunday morning that I wanted to share, and Spurgeon saw this. He saw the fact that when Jesus answered, there were no questions being asked. It's just a spontaneous response to His Heavenly Father that I have hid some things from the wise and the prudent, and I've revealed them unto babes. And it says, and Jesus rejoiced in spirit. It was His spirit in communication and fellowship with the Father. I'm sure that you've had these things, same experiences. When I'm studying the Word in my study, The Father just simply opens up something that I had never seen before. And it's exciting to experience that communication. I didn't get it out of a book. I didn't hear it on a message. Now, there are times when I do, but there are times when I don't. And it was just sitting in my study, and I would be studying about like the jewels of gold and the jewels of silver and the raiment. And the Lord just tied that verse in with a passage in Exodus chapter 3 where it says that He put those things on the children of the children of Israel. What a delight it was to see that and to experience that fellowship. This may be a little crude, but back when I was programming, I was working at J.W. Bray Company, and I just happened to be in the bathroom at the time, and the Lord just simply revealed to me the significance of Colossians 3:24. These are vivid experiences that I have not forgotten. I said, oh, look at that. The reward of the inheritance. I had not ever seen that before or ever tied those, the reward and the inheritance together, and the Lord brought it together. Another place was in Sunday school at Hickson First Baptist Church. I wasn't the teacher, I was a student, and they were teaching on the young rich ruler. And all of a sudden the teacher noticed how excited I was, and he says, obviously John got something we didn't get. And I had. The Lord, the Father just simply, the Holy Spirit just simply said to me, the young rich ruler was just, but he wasn't willing to live by faith. The just will live by faith, or shall live by faith. There are plenty of people that don't want to live by faith, and the young rich ruler was one of them. But these are just simply spontaneous events that are vivid in my own thinking, in my own life. Now, to be able to communicate and have the Holy Spirit to communicate with you, I was reminded of Ephesians 5:18, where it says, be not drunk with wine, wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. To be filled with the Spirit. And to be filled with the Spirit means that we speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The situation down at J.W. Bray was because I was working on memory verses. And you've got to do some memory work if you're going to speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's not spontaneous. That's something that you have applied. And it's the Word of God that the Holy Spirit uses. I didn't see a handwriting on the stall. It was in my heart that the Holy Spirit revealed the truths pertaining to the reward of the inheritance. In Colossians chapter 3 in verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and in teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You can't be a teacher and an admonisher without spending some time thinking about the word. Preparation. Everybody is to do this. Now, not everybody has got the gift of teaching, but everybody has the gift and the responsibility of letting the Word dwell in us richly. And the Word of Christ pertains to His kingdom and ruling and reigning and age-lasting life and the things that pertain that are special to the heart of the Father. Now, that's how He comes and reveals Himself to us. It's through the Holy Spirit. In John, another way we have fellowship with the Father is through worship. In John 4, in verses 23 and 24, it says, but the hour cometh and now is when the, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now let me just emphasize the fact here is that the definite article A before spirit is not a good translation. In fact, there's no translation. The Jehovah's Witnesses put A before the fact that Jesus Christ was a God. Well, this is the same error. God is not a spirit. The Godhead is spirit, but remember this, that God the Father and God the Son made you and I in their image. That means physical. Anyway, but He seeks for us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, to worship Him in spirit is, I believe, the spirit of adoption. Worship has to do with bowing and submitting. Remember, the lady came and bowed herself to the Lord and worshiped Him when she said, "Help." That's dependency. She worshiped Him and she said, "Lord, help me." And we do the same thing with the Father. And this has to do with the spirit of sonship. Or as brought out in Romans 8:15, the spirit of adoption. It's the spirit of being placed in a position of a son. In Romans 8:15 it says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption," or the spirit of being placed in a position of a son. Because the word adoption is a compound Greek word, and it means to place as a son. It has nothing to do with trying to get somebody to be into your family so that they have your last name. That's not what it's all about. This has to do with position in the family, and that is of being a son, responsible. And how do we express the spirit of adoption? We cry, "Abba," or "Father." When we pray, "Our Father which art in heaven," we're saying, "Abba." That's the spirit of adoption. "Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come." I'm praying for that which is on your heart. The establishing of your kingdom, where your son will be ruling and reigning, and those who qualify will be lords and kings. But to cry, "Abba, Father," is a cry of submission. Galatians 4:6, "God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." And the evidence of that spirit of sonship is by the fruits that it produces. A lot of people think, associate the fruits of the Spirit with that of the Holy Spirit. I really think it's the fruit of the spirit of adoption, of the spirit of His Son. The word Holy Spirit doesn't occur in Galatians. The word Holy Spirit, or those two words, do not appear or occur in the book of Galatians. And so, for us to know whether we are producing or we have the fruits of the spirit of adoption is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Are those evident in our life? These are evidences that we have the spirit of sonship or the spirit of adoption. In Mark chapter 14, verse 13, Jesus is in the garden and He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Take away this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what Thou wilt." He wants us to worship Him in this spirit. He is in charge. And how do we worship Him in spirit, this kind of spirit? Because we know the truth. It's spirit and in truth. Truth has to do with doctrine, in understanding God's plans and purposes and His character. Job said he is of one mind, and who can turn him? What his soul desireth, even that he doeth. And he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. This is in Job 23. And in verse, I think it's 14 and 15, right along in there. And so, to worship Him in spirit, I believe, is in the spirit of being a son. Mature as a son. Not our wills, but Thine be done. And one other, and with this we'll close, to have fellowship with the Father is to be willing for Him to discipline us. If you're going to have fellowship with your dad, you're going to know what it means to visit the woodshed. And another thing too, it's not always the woodshed. It's the chores. It's making you do things you don't want to do. It's the going to school when you don't want to go to school. It's the going to Sunday school and to church when you don't want to do those things. It's sitting at the table with manners. That's part of discipline and good behavior. We need good manners. And in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, if we endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? It's the sons of God that are exercised by the discipline, who will rule and reign with Christ. It's the children of God who rebel against their father that will not come into sonship. So, part of fellowshipping with the Father is to endure chastening. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9 gives us an illustration about earthly fathers. He says, moreover, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits? This is a very confusing verse, by the way. A lot of commentaries skip over this. And some have got friends that are this way and friends that are that way, and they're sticking with their friends. Or they don't know what it means either. But I did a little research on this, on that word, spirits. And it's actually, wouldn't we rather be subject unto the Father of the spiritual ones, the ones who are spiritual, who are walking in fellowship? Absolutely, we want to be in submission to our Heavenly Father. And we will live. That's the whole point. We want life for the coming age. And so therefore, I concluded the fact of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and following. It says, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you. Having fellowship with the Father should cause us to gird up our thinking in the loins of our mind. The strength of our thinking. That's the loins of our mind. The strength of our thinking. And we need to be sober. We need to be serious about this. And we need to be obedient children, verse 14. Not giving in to the former lusts and the things that would draw us away from Him, from God being our Father and we being His sons and daughters. And then it tells us in verse 17, if we call on the Father, that is, we cry, Abba, Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, we need to pass the time of our sojourning here in fear. not being afraid because the spirit of sonship has delivered us from the bondage of fear. This has to do with respect for our Heavenly Father. All that He has provided for us is that of a loving, kind, thoughtful Father. And He has good things planned for all of us if we will be exercised by those things that please Him. May the Lord help us as we seek to have fellowship with Him. And there are other things that we need to reflect upon in having fellowship, and Lord willing, we'll do that next Sunday. Father, we just thank You for Your Word, and that it speaks to us of good things that are coming, and how You desire for us to have fellowship with You, and how You will have fellowship with us and reveal Yourself to us, and how You will come to us, and how You sent the Holy Spirit to us. Lord, we just thank You for these truths this morning. Help us, Lord, to be exercised by these truths, that we might have fellowship with You, Father, and with Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the message to each of our hearts, for we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen.